If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to the Voice Over Work podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at 8 simple steps to realizing your dreams in life, work, and relationships. Written by Jean Marie Stein, narrated by Russell Newton. Step number 1, clarifying your goals. Success authorities like super salesman Zig Ziglar and super coach Rick Pitino say you'll never achieve your goal if it's fuzzy or ill-defined. For example, when someone's concept of their goal is unclear, experts warn that they can never get started, lose their inspiration along the way, or fail to get what they really wanted. Here's an example Napoleon Hill, author of the classic Think and Grow Rich, often used. What if, in 1980, your goal had been to accumulate a bank balance of $1 million? Let's say it took you 30 years, but by 2010 AD, inflation had reduced the purchasing power of that $1 million by one half. You achieved the goal you set yourself, of course. You have $1 million in terms of 1980s dollars, but you weren't clear in your aims. In 1980, you should have specified the purchasing power of $1 million today, and so you missed hitting your goal dead center. Or consider an example drawn from a conversation I had recently with an award-winning journalist who lives in the West. Say your goal was buying a horse. Almost everyone has some kind of goal, but most of us make many false starts, while others never get started toward their goals at all. And of those who do start, most never finish. They can't all be motivationally impaired, so if their problem isn't lack of motivation, what is it? The answer, according to Breakthrough Performance Authority Art Turok, author of Getting Physical, is a laser-focused goal. Setting an exciting goal is like setting a needle in your compass. From then on, the compass knows only one point, its ideal, and it will faithfully guide you there. Bernice Johnson Reagan. Setting a goal is not the main thing. It is deciding how you will go about achieving it and staying with that plan. Tom Landry. Hitting your bullseye, the value of a laser-focused goal. Art Turok isn't the only success guru to stress the importance of carefully and sharply defining your goal before you set out to make it a reality. Define the goal. Be specific, counsels Nikki Scott in her Working Woman column. Not, I want a promotion, but I want this promotion. Not, I want more responsibility, but I want this responsibility. Not, I want a better support system, but I'm going to call 5 new contacts each week. Although buying a horse would, at first blush, seem a pretty definite, clear-cut target, it actually fails to address many of the critical issues involved. For instance, when do you want to buy the horse? What do you want the horse for? Recreational riding? Breeding? Show? Dressage? Each will affect the price you pay. What about after you purchase the horse? Where will you keep it? What will fodder, healthcare, and exercise cost? Notice how much more clearer and more focused answering these questions makes your goal. When you stop to think about it, buying a horse is rather vague, isn't it? Just telling yourself that you want it by the start of next year's vacation, or to ride in the nearby state park, or, according to what I have read, the minimum cost per year to keep a horse is about $2,000, makes your goal sound concrete, tantalizing, achievable. It adds more oomph to your motivation and makes you a lot more likely to get going and hit the bullseye at the end.
Are you vague about your goals and values? And do you also find it difficult to stay committed to any one person or project? Step number two, becoming a doer. Experts on success like to point out that you don't get something for nothing. There is a price to be paid for everything. And when it comes to reaching your goals or achieving success, that price is taking action. The secret of success is simple, turn-of-the-century positive thinking authority James Allen was fond of telling audiences. As long as you don't quit and give up, you'll succeed. Once you realize this, you realize you might as well do it. Many people will try to do it, of course. Many will want to do it. Many will almost do it. But those who succeed will do it. Do it now, counsels Optimum Performance coach Josh Hinz. If you're not happy with the size of your network, the amount on your check or lack of checks, or the number of retail customers you have, then change it. Move into action. Do it now. In the course of achieving your goals, the time for pumping yourself up and applying motivational techniques comes to an end, and the time for taking action and actually doing something begins. As P. Samuel Bain writes in Mastering Yourself, I have always held the view that today is the beginning of the rest of my life. With this philosophy, it is pertinent that I spring into action now, not tomorrow, because tomorrow might be too late. If we are to be masters of any given situation, we should not procrastinate. Failure to act now results in lost opportunities. There are dozens of ancient folk sayings to the same effect, like, if wishes were horses, then beggars could ride, or, a thousand wishes won't fill a bucket with fishes. Each makes the point that it takes more than wanting to enroll in Alcoholics Anonymous, or to straighten out that golf slice, or to get you that promotion. It requires getting yourself into gear and taking that all-important first or next step. In a nutshell, all the principles, techniques, tips, exercises, and strategies in all the success-oriented books in the world won't do you a bit of good if you don't rise up off your duff and act on them. As football great Vince Lombardi used to tell the teams he led to victory, if you want something in life, you have to plan for it, prepare for it, and most important, you have to go for it. Everybody talks a good game. Talk is cheap, but a winner goes out and does something. Multi-millionaire entrepreneur John McCormick, author of Self-Made in America, says that the key misconception about taking action is that thinking, feeling, or talking about something long enough will lead to the impulse that will lead to action or forward motion. In other words, if I think about something long enough, eventually I'll get inspired enough to do it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Thinking and feeling do not produce action. Action produces thinking and feeling. Once action has begun, it takes over and becomes unconscious, and this leads to an almost higher state of consciousness. Yes, being a doer is a special state of consciousness all its own. Nor is McCormick alone in thinking so. Some call it the do-it-now attitude, others being proactive, others being a doer, others the flow state. Michael Jordan dubs it being in fourth gear. Whatever success authorities term it, all agree that there's a special mental state produced by taking action, one that involves feelings of pleasure in action, the sense of actively accomplishing something, and heightened awareness of one's competency and worthiness. We should be taught not to wait for inspiration to start a thing. Action always generates inspiration. Step number three, developing fearlessness. Here's the way pioneer in the study of success, Ralph Waldo Trine, helped readers and lecture audiences vividly picture the fears and doubts that kill motivation. Imagine yourself sauntering down a pleasant country lane on a warm, sunshiny afternoon. Ahead of you rises a hill, and on the other side lies a picnic ground where all your friends have gathered for a big bash. You feel excited, happy, eager to climb the hill, and eager to reach the far side. Now, imagine that you turn a bend in the path and there, rearing above you, all insensate fangs, claw, and slavering death, is the most ferocious grizzly bear you have ever seen. How do you feel now? Flooded with fear? wishing you were anywhere but here, turning to escape? What happened to your motivation to mount the hill and reach the other side? That, according to Trine, is the power fear has over our intention to achieve our goals. When our worries and concerns come in, motivation goes out. Fear has the power to stop us in our tracks, success-wise, every time. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to stop smoking or attempting to fight off a corporate takeover, the great successes of the world say this principle holds true for every aspect of motivation. The fear they won't finish or that the results won't last often keeps people from starting on fitness programs. The fear of losing, of pain, of being beaten by a superior opponent often keeps athletes from unleashing their full potential or emerging victorious. The fear of losing a current job and not being able to find one as good often keeps people from actively seeking better employment opportunities. And sometimes, ironically, we are held back, not from fear of failure, but as performance authority Dennis Waitley says, from fear of success. Many people are unconsciously, Waitley writes in The New Dynamics of Winning, afraid of the success that they know will result if they move ahead now. Because success is heavy, carries a responsibility with it. It is much easier to procrastinate and live on the someday I'll philosophy. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I live through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. Eleanor Roosevelt. Only when we are no longer afraid do we begin to live. Dorothy Thompson. Fearlessness, the difference between success and failure. Freeing yourself from fear, doubt, and worry is said to be essential if you want to retain the motivation necessary to reach your goals. As Zig Ziglar says, no salesman ever became great until he mastered his fear of that unseen prospect behind the door. Or, as Maxwell Maltz, author of the best-selling self-help book Psycho-Cybernetics, puts it, often the difference between success and failure is not one's better abilities or ideas, but the courage that one has to bet on one's ideas, to take a calculated risk, and to act. Harvard psychologist Abraham Zelesnik found mastery of fear constituted a key element of the entrepreneurial spirit. Successful entrepreneurs, he says, seek out risk on purpose. It has become clear that they do not perceive danger where others fear to tread. They have no fear of failure. It's not. Step number 4, believing in your success. You can't succeed if you don't believe. That's the message success authorities have been giving us for centuries. World-renowned successes, philosophers, religious figures and wise men and women of all nations have cited the crucial role beliefs play in our happiness and success. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes, the Bible tells us. To succeed in today's business environment, you must imagine yourself a success and believe that you can be, writes career consultant Marcille Gray Williams in The New Executive Woman. What the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve, Napoleon Hill says. Hill's statement is considered by success gurus as one of the most powerful truths ever spoken. Here's an inspiring example of the transformative power of belief to create success, an anecdote that many lecturers on success recount. Until 1954, athletes, trainers, even physicians believed that the human body did not have the physical capacity to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. The 4-minute mile was seen as an absolute physical limit that could never be transcended. Then, along came a medical student named Roger Bannister. Bannister believed he could break the 4-minute record, and did. Since Bannister accomplished this feat, and runners everywhere have come to believe the 4-minute mile is possible, over 20,000 people have duplicated his success. In order to succeed, we must first believe that we can. Michael Korda. We won't even attempt to achieve what we do not believe at a deep level we can have or deserve. Ruth Ross. You can, if you believe you can. In every area of life, from work to love to relationships to health, experts say, what we believe about ourselves and our abilities largely determines how we feel, how we think, and how well or poorly we perform. One of the more frequent complaints I hear from athletes, writes sports and business consultant Joe Kolesinski, is frustration that they possess identical, if not superior, physical attributes to their competition, yet they're consistently being outperformed. In many of these cases, the factor that separates their performance from the competition's has been found to be rooted in their belief as to their ability to outperform the competition. In other words, they are operating with a limiting belief as to their athletic ability and the level of performance they are capable of achieving. Many success authorities have likened the mind to an elephant. Elephants never forget, and that can be an insurmountable obstacle to the elephant sometimes. Once an elephant has been captured and learns it can't escape from its iron shackles, it comes to believe it can't run away, even when the shackles are taken off. The same is true of people. We, too, cannot seem to break away from the mental shackles that limit us in life. Those shackles are our beliefs, and those shackles can be broken. All authorities on success and achievement endorse the idea that what limits us in life is not our abilities, but our beliefs about those abilities and what we can and can't accomplish with them. As Nathaniel Brandon notes, the greatest barrier to achievement and success is not lack of talent or ability, but rather the fact that achievement and success above a certain level are outside our self-concept, our image of who we are. Number 5, taking responsibility. Stop blaming fate, others, your less than perfect partners, circumstances, or anything else for your setbacks and never starteds. Failure to take responsibility for your own difficulties is success enemy number 1 to many success coaches. As stress reduction authority Lucinda Bassett says, if you have yet to realize your own dreams, you probably spend a significant portion of your life blaming someone else for why you're not happy, why you don't have peace of mind, why you're not successful, why you're not healthy or thin, or why you can't quit smoking or have a good relationship or get the job you want, or why you can't overcome your anxiety. In addition, when we blame our problems on others, circumstances, fate, we undermine our own motivation by sending our unconscious a "what's the point in trying" signal. The unconscious naturally switches off all the internal signals necessary to achieving our goal: enthusiasm, motivation, excitement, interest, and we give up in defeat, often before we truly begin. However, far too many people, according to Dr. Wayne Dyer, want to say, "I couldn't help it," or "it was someone else's fault," or "I was in the wrong place at the wrong time," or "I was dealt a dirty deal," or "family circumstances created my misery," or whatever other excuse you have developed to absolve yourself of responsibility. Accepting responsibility for our own situation, our own mistakes, and our own failures is essential if we are to maintain the motivation needed to achieve our dreams. We tend to blame whatever happens to us on those external things, Jim Rohn has written, but we need to take personal responsibility. I used to say, "I sure hope things will change." Then I learned from my mentor, Earl Schoaf, that the only way things would change for me is when I changed. We cannot change the circumstances, but we can change what we do. The ability to design our future is in our hands if we wish it to be. Stephen Covey agrees. Highly proactive people take responsibility. They do not blame circumstances, conditions, or conditioning for their behavior. Their behavior is a product of their own conscious choice based on values rather than a product of their conditions based on feeling. How does someone do this, especially if they have a habit of putting the responsibility elsewhere? Recentering the responsibility from exterior factors and onto ourselves isn't difficult. The first step is to stop blaming your parents, your first husband or wife, that bitchy coworker. Lucinda Bassett writes that when you can say, "I'm the reason for my have-nots, I accept responsibility for my own discontent and unhappiness, it's nobody's fault that I'm the way that I am. I want to change my life, and I have the courage, the power, and the energy to do it," then you're on the way to controlling the only thing you really have control over, yourself. You're on the path to releasing yourself from guilt, anger, and blame, and taking responsibility for your own fulfillment and peace of mind. Recovery is just around the next curve. You must be completely honest with yourself if you are ever to rid yourself entirely of blaming others, Dyer tells us. The way to begin is to take total responsibility for everything that you are in your life right now. Say to yourself, "I am the sum total of my choices up until this moment." Step number 6, generating enthusiasm. You can succeed at almost anything for which you have unlimited enthusiasm. All great successes loved what they were doing, tackling it and any obstacles in their way with enthusiasm. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." Want to increase your income and be more fulfilled in your career? Asks Vance Caesar, president of the Professional Coaches and Mentors Association. Caesar spent 2 decades studying winning-edge entrepreneurs, those in the top 3% of their industry or profession, and uncovered what he feels is a key ingredient in their financial and career success. "Winning edgers," Caesar writes, "are some of the most passionate people with whom I have had the privilege of working. Living with passion is probably the cornerstone to building a successful career." Enthusiasm should be in the heart, mind, and thought of every person who wants to be on the top, says Winston Saga. You just can't go out and buy it in the shop. It is a feeling that comes from within. Enthusiasm is the spice of life. Make yourself act enthusiastic. It is as simple as that. Yet, enthusiasm is another of those success keys that is consistently underutilized. Enthusiasm is probably the most undervalued asset in any corporation, says John McCormick, founder of the Visible Changes chain of hair salons. Our customers tell us that, in addition to a great haircut, one of the things they enjoy most about the Visible Changes experience is what could be called the 4 E's: the excitement, the enthusiasm, the energy, and the electricity evident in every one of our locations. People want to be around people who are passionate about what they do. Our staff not only appears to be happy, they are happy. Their smiles are real, and their positive mindset is genuine. And yet, most managers pay little, if any, attention to it. To get an idea for yourself of how important enthusiasm is to keeping success, try this test. First, read the sentence that follows out loud as if it were a boring, uninspiring task you are doing only because otherwise you would lose your job. "I have to read the McDonald report before our meeting tomorrow." Now, read the same sentence out loud as if it were a report you personally commissioned that will net you a 25% boost in income, and you were so enthusiastic about reading it, you could hardly wait to see it. "I have to read the Zelazny report before our meeting tomorrow." Note the difference enthusiasm makes. "What I do best is share my enthusiasm," Bill Gates. "I don't think I can play any other way but all out. I enjoy the game so much because I'm putting so much into it," George Brett. "The worst bankruptcy in the world is the person who has lost his enthusiasm," H.W. Arnold. How to keep enthusiasm up when life has got you down. Maintaining enthusiasm when the going is good is not difficult. When the going is good, the fact that everything is in our favor generates its own enthusiasm. The problem is when things aren't going well. Setbacks, reverses, and difficulties can drain enthusiasm at the drop of a hat. That's the hump that makes it hard to keep our enthusiasm high. Yet, whether it's work, or the motivation to keep practicing a tennis stroke, retaining your enthusiasm amid the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune is critical to your success. Step number 7, bouncing back from setback. One theme is echoed again and again in success literature. No matter how clearly envisioned your goal, no matter how carefully thought out our plans for achieving it, sometime, somewhere, somehow, something is bound to go seriously amiss. No plan, they tell us, can be perfect. No one person can foresee every possibility, and no strategy can wholly account for the unexpected. Super salesman Jim Rohn counsels us that if we want to keep our enthusiasm and motivation to the end, we should begin with the certain knowledge of failure in mind. We should prepare ourselves for the fact that we will encounter setbacks many times along the way, and determine from the outset that we will not allow them to keep us from our goals. But no matter how well prepared we are for reverses, whether it's plunging off our diet and pigging out on ice cream, or purchasing a pack of cigarettes when we've sworn off them forever, or losing a national championship cup, or failing to win the promotion we felt we justly deserved, setbacks still tend to sabotage our success, undercut our sense of competence and self-worth, and threaten our confidence that we have what it takes to achieve our goals. Failures involve so much loss and/or such a radical adjustment to change, there's so much pain involved, we just attempt to avoid dealing with it, says psychologist David Klimek, Ph.D. That may explain why studies show more than 2/3 of those who set out toward a goal quit before reaching the end. This figure seems to hold true, whether it's starting a new business, beginning an exercise regime, or giving up cigarettes. No matter what it is we're trying to accomplish, when our best laid plans go wrong, only 1/3 of us ever recover. The rest of us simply abandon our dreams. What makes the difference between those who realize their goals and those who quit along the way? It's the ability to bounce back from setbacks, sometimes called resilience. Datuk Maaz Nahamid, one of Malaysia's most distinguished corporate leaders, says resiliency played an important role in her success. "I started from zero. The business world tests your resilience. It is suitable only if one is willing to leave one's comfort zone for at least 3 to 5 years. What can go wrong will go wrong. Murphy's Law. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. Robert Burns. Mistakes are a fact of life. It is the response to error that counts. Nikki Giovanni. Setback or opportunity. Whether we are defeated by our setbacks and failures or successfully surmount them to realize our dreams, it turns out, is determined by something as simple as what we call them. Studies cited in Robert Waterman's The Renewal Factor, How the Best Get and Keep the Competitive Edge, reveal that successful people never use words like failure. Instead, they use words like challenge, opportunity, learning experience. They simply never view themselves as having experienced a failure or a setback. As performance trainer and consultant Fred Nichols writes, the word problem carries with it connotations that some people prefer to avoid. They choose instead to use the word opportunity. Problems tend to be seen as a bad situation, one that shouldn't have been allowed to happen in the first place. After all, an opportunity is something rich. About the author. Best-selling, critically acclaimed human potentials authority, Jean Marie Stein, is the author of Double Your Brain Power, Prentice Hall, 1997, and co-author of The Best Guide to Meditation, Renaissance, 1999, both selections of the Quality Paperback and One Spirit book clubs. A former editor for Houghton Mifflin, St. Martin's, and Jeremy P. Tarcher, she is also the author of How to Write a Successful Self-Help Book, John Wiley, 1996, and co-author of It's All in Your Head, Amazing Facts About the Human Mind and Psychology, Macmillan, 1994, and Super Brain Power, Prentice Hall, 2001. and acclaimed presenter at the West Coast's Classes Unlimited and Career Tree, where she taught workshops in instant learning, career success, and business writing, she was voted most popular instructor 4 years in a row, a record brought to an end only when she relocated to the East Coast. In addition, she has appeared on television and radio interview programs from coast to coast and from south to north in markets as various as Boston, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Virginia, New Orleans, and Phoenix. Jean Marie comes by her knowledge of human potentials firsthand, having worked as editor or student with such leading motivational gurus as Jean Houston, Ken Wilber, Anthony Robbins, Charles Garfield, Betty Edwards, Timothy Leary, Marianne Williamson, Marilyn Ferguson, Richard Byrne, Robin Norwood, and David Kreutzer. This has been 8 Simple Steps to Realizing Your Dreams in Life, Work, and Relationships. Written by Jean Marie Stein. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2001-2015 by Jean Marie Stein. Production copyright by Jean Marie Stein. Everyone wants to know the secret of success. Some think it's luck. Others, heredity. Still others say it's education. Each of these plays a role, of course, but research into achievement has revealed there is something far more important than any of these, and it is what spells the difference between those who achieve success and those who never do. This something that separates winners from runners-up is 8 simple steps all successful people take to fulfill their goals. Anyone who takes these same 8 steps truly becomes the absolute master of his or her own destiny. Studies into the life of successful women and men show you don't have to be a genius, go to a prestigious college, possess charisma, or come from the right background to have the happiness, love, and fulfilling work in your life. Think about the people you know who have made it on their own terms. Most are probably ordinary people with average IQs. In short, no different than you. What has allowed these ordinary people to rise to the top? What allows people to rise to the top in every field, from business to athletics, from politics to the arts, is whether or not they take these 8 simple steps when they face the challenges and difficulties inherent in any undertaking. These 8 are: 1. Clarifying your goals. 2. Becoming a doer. 3. Developing fearlessness. 4. Believing in your success. 5. Taking responsibility. 6. Generating enthusiasm. 7. Bouncing back from setbacks. 8. Crossing the finish line. It doesn't matter whether you're dreaming of a retirement cabin in the mountains, winning the next marathon, getting a raise, getting a job, becoming a writer, earning a promotion, or saving a shaky business venture. Without taking these steps, you won't get far. Take all 8, and nothing can hold you back, no matter how difficult the going gets. There is no substitute for taking these 8 steps. Not charisma, not education, not talent, not connections. In the final analysis, it is these 8 steps alone that will pay off for you. See how short and simple the secret of success is to outline and present? This book blueprints an easy approach for mastering each step. It is the first time that all 8 have been identified and integrated as a single system. The book begins with becoming a doer who takes the first step, and it culminates with making a habit of taking the final step and crossing the finish line. In between, it covers the 6 other characteristic ways of acting shared by highly successful people. There is a minimum of theory here. The book is intended as a practical guide to the subject of success, goal achievement, and the realization of your personal and professional dreams, whatever they may be. It focuses on proven techniques for learning the 8 steps that you can put to immediate use. It eschews academic and psychological jargon, but it is based on scholarship as well as firsthand experience. This book will show you what you need to do to succeed in life. Whether or not you put it to work and take these 8 steps is up to you. Jean Marie Stein.
Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. Show notes and further information can be found at russellericnewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.